Oh wow, you're back. Well, I guess welcome back to the Vagabond Dilemma, huh? Today we shall host a little bit of a scientific episode. Henry will call out China's nuclear waste leftovers, and I will give a shout out to the weatherman. Yes, all of that in just one episode. So sit tight, relax, and enjoy.
Boom! High energy! Welcome to the Thunder Zone!
Holy shit! This was not what I was expecting! Hi, people! I literally just shit my pants right now!
Hello there, everybody!
Hi! Don't do the intro, we're supposed to be consistent now.
Yeah? Was that what you expected when I said I have something prepped?
Yes.
Was it now? You said you shit your pants.
Welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma, people.
Well. Welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma. Where we talk we talk about missing explorers, discuss their story, and theorize an ending.
Ooh. And on today's news segment, Henry was late again.
What do you mean again?
Henry is, okay, for listeners at home, Henry is always late, but I let him slack off because you know what? He always makes tea. He pops on Discord and he's like, oh, you know.
That's not
breakfast,
late.
Tea, that's fine. I'm fine with it. But this morning, the audacity of this man to wake up and go back to sleep realm, I don't know how I think of that, Henry, my dear co-host.
Okay, but wait. Usually I am here on time, we just hop on Discord and there's like a pre-talk for like half an hour, so I just use that time to eat some breakfast and just set some tea. I don't think it's fair of you to blame me for that, to be quite frank.
And I will, what you gonna do about it, huh?
Yeah? How about I leave right now, and I throw this recording in the trash?
It makes my life harder for editing, but...
Hey everybody, Rudy was late today because he's a lazy little... cringe boy. So I really have to do it all today. Sorry to say.
He's just gonna make a standalone podcast first episode. Fuck Rudy.
The anti-Rudy podcast.
Yeah. Any news from your side of the Eindhoven?
About what's going on up here?
Yeah.
Not much. I've just been sick at home for the last week, really. That's kind of it. But other than that, I don't know. For some reason, there's fireworks up here every now and then. I don't know who the fuck it is that has fireworks stashed up already. And it's like, hey, this is a perfect night to set up, you know?
I mean, they're celebrating you getting sick.
That's fucked up.
Imagine getting sick in this day and time, people, huh? Cringe.
Yeah, if you're sick, you deserve it. Let's lead off with that. I think that's good. Let's alienate everybody.
What else? Oh, yeah, wait. What was the last bit that I did on that? Yeah. You know what? Italy.
Oh, God.
You look kind of funny when I look at you in the map.
Yeah, this is the first time you get to that?
I'm really struggling to keep up that one specific bit.
Hey, everyone. Hey, fun fact. Did you know Italy kind of looks like a boot?
Okay, but what's the deal historically with that one island that they just ate, but it's not part of their country, but of France?
What's the deal with Italy?
Is that French just, like, you know, spying on Italians?
What, you mean with Sardinia?
Yes.
I don't know. I think Sardinia was... I don't know, King. Based on my map games, Sardinia was part of, like, the Italian side already, and... Corsica, I don't know how they got that, actually. But, I don't know.
It's the French spying on Italians. Why do they hate each other?
They don't. That's crazy.
No. From both sides, I've heard this one fact that they hate each other.
Well,
I've
never
heard
this.
You know what? This podcast, this specific episode, I devote to peace between realms. Let the French and Italians rejoice. In this wonderful time of globalism where everyone can be everyone, eh?
everyone can be everyone?
Oh, wait, anyone. Whatever. I'm gonna edit it out. Don't worry.
This sounds like a very impartial podcast editor. Indeed. Okay. Yeah, I guess that was mainly it, huh? It's not been a very exciting week for me, so. And it's not been a very exciting week for Italians either.
No. It has been. I've been vibing with Italians. Their life has been going up and up.
Yeah. And other lies you keep telling yourself.
And yesterday, one of them came to the lab, kind of what I described as he walked into a pole.
<'Cause> what?
One of them walked in the room and he had like a somewhat of a bloody spot right in the middle of his eyebrows. And I was like, what did you do? Didn't get a straight up answer. Apparently beat up French. Just saw a French dude and headbutted him in the corridors.
Okay. We love that. A little bit of fighting, huh? Bit of flexing
but not
the muscles.
After this episode, it's peace. Yeah. Wait, this is November, right? Let's get one good thing in November.
Yeah.
The only good thing coming out of November, peace between France and Italy.
All right. Well, should we get into it, Rudy?
Right, Henry.
Oh, right. Well. Today we have Pongjamu. Yes? Rudy, your turn to pronounce that.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Pongjamu.
Pongjamu?
Yes. I actually practiced this one ahead of time.
Wow.
It's pronounced with, as I wrote it in my notes, a flat E. I don't know if that's, correct according to the terminology.
What did they do to the E? Why is it flat?
It's just how you pronounce it in Chinese.
Pori.
Pongjamu. Yeah?
Yeah.
And as you may have heard me just say, he's a Chinese. Damn, that's crazy.
China? Anyone wants to go to China?
Huh?
Well, aren't you supposed to make your Instagram whatever the algorithm?
Oh, right. I already forgot about that. It's been a while. Yeah, we did a bit for a while where I was trying to force travel or South China travel ads to pop up on my phone, but it never worked. So,
well, maybe if we get enough listeners on this episode, this will work, Henry. They will track back that you were the one talking the podcast, and they'll be like, tickets, go.
Well, as it happens, did you know that our good friend Pongjamu, he was born on the 19th May of 1925 in... And I won't pronounce this one correctly because I didn't practice this one. Guangzhou. In, guess where? South China.
I actually know a little bit about Guangzhou.
Really? How come?
Yes, because I have a friend living there, I believe.
There you go. That's pretty cool. This is, Guangzhou is one of the only cities I know by name in China. Apart from, the obvious. But there you go. So that's quite the coincidence, isn't it?
Quite the coincidence.
Also, here's a funny thing, is that I checked multiple sources, and he was indeed born in 1925. But one of the things I checked was Wikipedia, and there it had a typo that says 1935. So
maybe
we really do need those donations that Wikipedia keeps begging
for.
Yeah,
huh? People, let's get donations for Wikipedia.
All right, so Pongjamu was a Chinese biologist in the mid-20th century, studied and graduated from the Nanjing University in 19... Oh, well, back then it wasn't called that, but today it's the Nanjing University, in 1947, after which he joined the Shanghai Institute of Biochemistry.
Wow.
To
smart man.
Work. Yes, quite. So, you know, he wasn't fucking around, to put it lightly.
None of them do. They're all
he knew what's up.
Big brain guys, no?
Okay. He was renowned for his work in the biology field in China. But what exactly he did, except for what I'll get into later, I don't know. But he was also studying under a notable professor from what I saw. But I didn't want to get into that because that's a bit too much of a detour for no reason. Also, might I add that the sources I used were from like a Chinese website, so I don't know how biased it is. Ooh. You know, maybe it was just a lazy ass, but they were like, oh, we love him. Oh. Excuse me.
Oh, dear God, it starts. It starts. Oh, guys. God,
no, wait, I have a coughing fit right now.
Oh, no. I will have to edit out the coughing fit. Oh no, every single cough you drop, Henry, makes my life hell. How about that? When are you going to think about the workers of this podcast?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
this
please edit that
out.
This
is real China vibes right now.
Okay. So, to recap these two sentences I have said so far. He's a biologist and he's doing good. So, from 1956 onwards, he joins expeditions to, and please pull up your Google Maps right now.
I have.
The area of China. He joins expeditions to Xinjiang. Do you see that?
No.
That's...
Point me in a direction.
It's in the very northwest of China. For anybody at home that doesn't have Google Maps.
It's that mountainous area, right?
Yeah, it has a lot of... Well, I was going to get into this later, but it does have the second highest mountain in the world on the border with Pakistan. The disputed border with Pakistan, might I add. But yeah, it's mountainous. It also has a massive desert basin, so it's quite a variety of landscapes. So for anybody at home who doesn't have access to Google Maps right now, Xinjiang is the north, like most northwestern province of China, above Tibet. It's located like right in between Kazakhstan and Mongolia. And a more popular point of reference is it's basically at the height of Mongolia, but at the latitude, I think latitude is the right term, right? Or is it longitude? It's above, like, it's located geographically north above India, basically. So.
The term's getting thrown out here. Holy Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, that should give you a pretty good idea of where it is. So, these expeditions were initiated by the Chinese Academy. God, I'm stupid.
We got there at the end.
Chinese Academy of Sciences. So, starting from 1956 onwards. And he also initiated to join these by himself, so it was like volunteer base. And he was quoted as saying, "I have a strong wish to explore the frontiers. I have the courage to pave a way in the wilderness." So he was quite big into exploring, let's put it that way. He was...
Okay, I can respect the hustle.
He was there for a good time. Yeah, I'll continue on a bit about Peng, and then we'll hop back to the Xinjiang region for a little bit of fun facts and trivia.
Okay.
So, in 1957, so just 1 year after he went there, he got a tumor. Really unfortunate. So he had to leave for a while, but after he recovered in Beijing, he went right back to Xinjiang to continue the exploration. So, the region he went to was the Lop Nur Desert. If you pull up your Google Maps again, Harudi.
Is that the middle of Xinjiang?
It's on like the bottom right-ish.
Oh, bottom right.
It's not really shown well. So just put in Lop Nur Desert and then...
How do you spell that?
So Lopnur.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like... I don't know. It's also... This is like a very vague point that Google Maps gives you. So it's kind of hard to really know where he went, but, you know, it's something. But I will describe this as like the bottom right of Xinjiang. Mm-hmm. So that's where he went to do his research. He said, or it was said that the conditions there were very harsh, but he always kept optimistic. And he was also always encouraging towards his team. And while he was there, he discovered lots of flora and fauna, which were native to the region, which was one of his main research goals.
What can he find in a desert? 3 different types of sand?
Well, okay, I guess, all right, I'll circle back to Xinjiang here because this will explain why this might seem a bit weird. So, well, first of all, about Xinjiang itself. Actually, let's talk about the Lopnur Desert first. So, in the expeditions to the Lopnur Desert, he registered species of flora and fauna, but he also measured potassium aggregation in the Lopnur Desert. And you might be wondering, huh? But the reason for this is because the Lopnur Desert used to be a lake. A salt lake, factually. That's why he's looking for or measuring potassium, because there was a thick line of salt everywhere where the lake had dried up. And the reason the lake had dried up is because China built dams which blocked the water flow to the lake, causing it to just completely dry up.
Oh, those pricks.
They kind of fucked with it, yeah. And they also used the land around the area of the Lopnur Desert as a nuclear testing site. So,
Jesus Christ. They literally chose this one location where, like, okay, we're gonna do, like, you know, fucked up things, but let's do them in one spot.
So, yeah, there is a thick crust of salt on the former lake grounds. But that also means because it was, like, a former lake and it was drying up.
Wait. You said nuclear tests?
Yes.
Big salt lake? Could you consider that the world's biggest bath bomb?
Well, you just need a lot of water to add there, see? That's what the one they're missing. Well, actually, for the bath bomb itself.
Maybe that's what the North Koreans are testing as we speak.
Yeah.
Everybody heard of that thing going over Japan, right?
Well, so in any case, so the reason the conditions were harsh is because it was like a drying up marshlands, kind of, so there was definitely stuff to be found. It wasn't just a pure sand desert. But so the weather there was extreme with movement of sand dunes, harsh winds, drying up marshlands, etc., etc. So, he was very enthusiastic about this area. He loved to be there, and there was also a period between 1966 and 1979 that he couldn't be there to continue his research. Because, and here we hop into the era, I guess. So right now we're jumping back and forth a lot, so I apologize if it's kind of chaotic. But it's just the way it turned out. So between 1966 and 1979, there was the Chinese Cultural Revolution. Are you familiar with that, Rudy?
No, actually. Educate me.
I wasn't either. So, around this time, like, in general even, so his explorations were from 1956 to 1980, approximately. So equipment-wise, they had, like, semi-modern stuff, I called it. They had cars, but they also used donkeys and stuff like that, you know? So,
yeah.
It wasn't, like, it's not like nowadays how you would explore a desert, but it also wasn't like the height of technology. But yeah, around this time, of course, in China, there was a lot of political instability. With World War II ending, like, China was recovering from a lot of damage, like economically and culturally, as well as the change of governments. And one of those, like, happenings in that kind of vein was the Chinese Cultural Revolution, which was the reinstatement of Mao Zedong as the Chinese leader, and the purging of capitalist elements in Chinese society to reinforce communism as the dominant ideology.
Jesus, it's a purge.
What did you say?
It's a purge.
Yes. Kind of. There was a lot of violent fighting, and it slowed stuff like scientific exploration down to a halt, you know. Makes sense.
So now they gotta, that's why they're so crazy about everything these days, because they're just like, we have to pile it up again. Purge was successful, too successful, let's keep it up, boys.
But yeah, so it was a very tough time in China, and so he couldn't continue his exploration. But after 1979, the Chinese Academy of Sciences actually appointed him head of the Xinjiang branch. And thus, he was able to return to the Lopnur Desert and continue his explorations again. So, before we get to the final mission, which happened in 1980, I will ask a quick trivia question about Xinjiang. So, Xinjiang is the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. I hope I pronounced that right. And you may have seen that that ethnic group of people have been in the news a lot because they are potentially getting killed off by China, which is very, very sad.
Be completely honest, I don't watch the news, so no, I haven't, but continue.
Well, it's quite a sad state of affairs. But in any case, this is where, they mostly live. It's an autonomous region, and it's mostly desert, as you may have seen on the map. A lot of mountains, and about 10% of a livable area. It's not the best place to be. But it is, what I did like seeing is that it's a very, unique part of China, in that it's, not Chinese names up there, you know? For the most part. So, a fun fact about Xinjiang, which I did know that it was in this area, but I didn't know specifically here, is it has the most inland point in the entire world. Which means, it's Xinjiang has a point that's furthest from any coastline, anywhere. Do you care to wager a guess? How far away do you think this is from the nearest coastline? And feel free to look at the map while you do this.
Okay. I'm definitely not using my fingers to measure this on my laptop screen. Okay. I wager
3,000
kilometers.
3,000 kilometers is not a bad guess. The answer is 2,650 approximately to the nearest coast. And this specific point is located right in between, if you go to the north of Xinjiang, basically, you see the small lake between Kazakhstan and Mongolia there in Xinjiang? Do you see that one?
Yes.
It's about there. It's approximately there.
Near Altai?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it's somewhere in this specific region. I don't know exactly where, but somewhere in that point. So, basically, almost the very northern border of China there in the Xinjiang region is where it is at.
I see.
That's quite interesting. And for reference, the furthest point on the ocean, the furthest point to any land on the ocean, is also about the same distance.
And that would be in the Pacific, right?
Yes. I didn't check completely where it was, but it was Point Nemo is what the place is
called. Of course it's Point Nemo. It's always Point Nemo. Of course it's called Point Nemo.
It could only be Point Nemo.
Nemo 1934?
Oh my god. It's all connected.
Interest in going for a swim.
Okay, so with that all being said, you know, we got a decent background on him. Are we ready to get into the interesting?
Let's go!
Theorization, eh? Oi! The theorization!
Let's go into the desert!
So, the mission. As it was before, the mission was just to explore the Lopnur Desert exactly. I didn't get a lot of info on what exactly, sorry. I got distracted for a second. There wasn't exactly a lot of, specifics, but basically just explore the Lopnur Desert again. For biological and archaeological reasons. He took a team of biologists and archaeologists. Shut up. It's hard, okay? I have to read a lot. I have to pronounce a lot. So, the road they were traveling was difficult, and supplies and mood were starting to run low. But, as the reports have said, based on a on the survivors' recount, Peng encouraged everybody to move forward and inspired the masses to keep going despite the harsh conditions.
For some reason, I just imagine now, white sorority girls going on those, marches they do around the campus. We're the best! Yay! We can do this! Yay!
Okay. So anyway, so they were in kind of a pickle, and one of the things they were running low on was water. So, and this is going to be a very dry ending to this, unfortunately, Peng went out looking for water He left a note, "Hey, I'm looking for water, gang," and then he never came back.
Literally a dry ending, because he was going for water, but they didn't get the water.
So the interesting part is that it's not like his entire team disappeared, it was just him. So...
okay, so this is where I start my... Actually, I know exactly what happened, as per usual.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy as hell. He was just... imagine going for however long they were going, right?
Yeah.
And this guy always has to be like, "Yo, guys, keep it up, we can do this, yoo-hoo, let's go, ra-ta-ta-ta." And those pricks, the only thing they probably do, because they most likely didn't give him support back. They were just like whiny bitches, "Little baby's gonna cry, wah." And at some point he was just like, "You know what? I'm gonna go get some water, wink wink," and just go back to mainland China.
He just did the "dad, I'm going out for cigarettes" move.
Literally. And just ran away. Or maybe he, because he's been hanging about this desert for a while, maybe he found out that, you know what, actually in that 10% you said, area where people can actually live.
Yeah.
He actually liked it there. He's like, "Yo, I have a secret lover. Oh, what about that? I have a secret lover there. And yeah, bye. My three children are waiting." Or two at the time, or one, whatever.
So he has a secret lover, but then he just fucks up. And because it's an autonomous region, China never finds out the real answer. That's exactly where he went. He's just hanging exactly out at home, basically.
Illegitimate child. But and also he kind of like flipped on the whole group, right? Because he didn't get back with the water, and now they had to suffer.
Well, they did make it out, so it's not like you know, he left them to
and
die
maybe
or
if they, oh yeah, so maybe they now pissy and cry about the fact that he kind of like stood them up and didn't get them water. So they were like, "Yeah, we know he lived, but we're gonna tell you that he died because he deserves to." You know, petty and stuff.
Wait, then where did he go if he lived?
If he, I'm told you, the child.
Oh, so they just don't, so they all knew, but they didn't report it back.
Yeah, exactly. My homie, it's father love. It's very strong. Going through deserts, no water, no nothing.
Well, I think if they got pissy that he didn't bring him water, they fucking killed his ass, rather.
But they were whining all the way till the desert. You think they would have followed through the desert?
Yes.
Well, that's where you're wrong.
And that's where they fucking killed his ass. They sucked all the blood out of him to drink his water.
What the fuck, vampire Chinese?
And then they buried him and they're like, "Huh? You said he was going out for water. I don't see where he's at."
Because they have the British accent in English, but keep going.
Well, I don't want to. I don't know what a Chinese accent sounds like for English. So
to be honest, I know, but I'm not gonna do it because that would be too racist. No.
You have to do it so we can get canceled today.
Well, it's not gonna be today. It's gonna be from how many weeks this recording comes up. But
yes, okay. Well, I'm not gonna date
it. I have another theory. Something. Unless you want to put your theory in, I have another theory.
Well, I have a couple ideas. Yeah, but go ahead.
Yeah, I want to hear yours. Let's go. Come on.
Well, one thing is he was just strolling about the desert, and it was like, "Oh, look, I see some liquid over there. What's that?" And then he goes there. It's a barrel, so that's like kind of mysterious, but like, hey, maybe it's our lucky day. And as okay. He tastes some, it turns out it's nuclear waste. And he starts corroding from the inside out. And as you would have it, he could not make it back. And hell, he even tripped and slipped into the barrel, completely, like, dissolving him, making sure there's no traces left.
My god, this is hysterical, Henry. I just imagine this, like, plain desert, like, all horizontal ground, and there's just a barrel, and this dude is just like, "Oh, my lucky day! Hey, let's get a jug, eh?" And then just like a banana slip in the car, so falls in and just like, shit.
Yeah, that's about how I imagined it as well. Well, Punk was a biologist and he could not be stopped by his curiosity, to be quite frank.
He wanted... Yeah. Oh, you know what? That's fair. That's fair.
Or, you know, what else could have happened is that because of the nuclear testing that was happening in the area, there were some giant mutated scorpions running around.
Oh, this is going to be your scorpion plugin.
This is my scorpion plugin. I love a scorpion, people. Truly, I don't have that much more to say that they're great. So, if you see a scorpion, give him a fist bump.
Yeah, do that. Do that.
No, anyway, so giant mutated scorpions, as you know, as I said earlier, as a biologist himself, he could not be, like, he was curious. He was like, oh my god, I have to, I don't know, document this. How do you document a species anyway? Like, you just take a picture and you're like, wow, found another one today. That's crazy. Or what?
Ah, child, hashtag new one.
Yeah, for real though.
I think they just, well, back in the day they used to kill them and dissect them, right?
Okay, so maybe he was trying to do that, but they were too big for him. And they managed to overpower and eat him whole.
Oh, I like the toxic waste theory better.
And here's my crux, the final. This is what I really think did happen. So the group, they were going, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And Pung was like, oh, I'm going to go out looking for water. And as that was going on, one of the group members was rummaging through his notes. Because he was a bit of a privacy invader. And then he found out that Pung was actually a capitalist pig.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's right. And when he came back to the camp, they said, hey Pung, it's time to fucking die, to put it quite frankly. What's this notebook with dollar signs I found?
Capitalist pig, die, scum. And they nuked him.
Yeah, they nuked him as one of the nuclear tests. Truly, a testament to Chinese multitasking.
A testament? Oh my God. Well, I have a more believable theory even than yours, I think.
Yeah, go ahead.
China fucked one too many times with the weatherman.
Meaning?
Because, I mean, it's everybody knows this. Like, do you think we get our weather forecast from satellites? Nah, man, it's the weatherman.
It's the weatherman.
The weatherman, for those who don't know, it's a dude in a hot air balloon going so far up across the globe, he sees the weather at all times.
Oh.
And every country has this one representative that has like a direct line to the weatherman. And weatherman is always like, okay, China, what's today you will have this, 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 and that. He's like the ultimate multitasker. He tells weather for all of the world at all times. He's like this immortal being, right? And you said that China kind of fucked with the lake there, right? As in, like, they completely destroyed it and then started, like, nuking the place?
Yeah.
Well, the weatherman was like, holy shit. This, you know, like, what's there to report if you kill my source of water that gets you clouds and gets you rain? Maybe there wasn't even a desert, huh? Maybe it was a tropical lush forest. But now that there's not a lake, it dried out and it all became just mountains, huh? And weatherman was like, okay, next time you fucks come back, I will strike you down with my rifle from my hot air balloon, like my laser beam. And he was like, oh, fuck, well, I kind of have only one bullet left. But they all, like, grouped up together, so I'm like, I don't want to get a rando. Like, I want to get somebody, you know, like, whose name was worth something. And then our boy, Jamu, just, like, starts walking out in the desert. It's like, oh, it's kinda dry today. Not a raindrop inside. And this guy from the sky is already like loading up. He's like, yeah, 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 you. And it's like, pew, and then disintegrated on spot.
Well, that would explain that no trace could be found of him. That's something.
Yeah, because the weatherman fished him up and then fed him to the almighty whale that holds up the universe.
Yeah.
This is all very scientific, by the way.
I feel like this particular whale that you're talking about that holds up the entire universe, I feel like he would be a bit more hungry than for one dude.
Well, imagine if every world like has one sacrifice, as in like every habitable Earth somewhere in the universe.
That's going to be still very little food if it's one sacrifice and it's just one dude.
Okay, okay, listen up. When you think about real time, like real life whales, right? What do they eat? Huh?
They eat like little bitches.
Yeah, exactly. They eat little bitches like little bitches. They literally don't have teeth. They have the brooms instead of teeth.
Yeah, but
it filters out water and then they get the, what is it, planktons or whatever they eat?
Yeah, the little fishies and planktons.
Yeah, so imagine for universal whale, it's the same.
Yeah, but they still eat a fuck ton of them. It's not like they just eat one and they're like, oh, I'm so full today.
Universe endless. Earth, like, habitable planets, I don't know.
Two.
Billions, millions.
That's right, two.
Okay, where's the other one?
You wouldn't know her if she goes to a different school.
Wait, the other planet?
Yes.
Oh, there's universe school? Oh, that explains a lot why we don't get, like, extraterrestrials here. Because we're probably, like, the back alley of the school. We're like the kid who, like, always underperforms and doesn't even want to put the effort in.
So we just get straight up shunned by everybody?
No, as in, like, we're the stupid ones, you know, that try to bully others. And then, like, because what are we going to do for other planets in the solar system? We're going to colonize them. And they're like, oh, that's kind of ethical.
Oh, that's kind of unethical.
Have I told you about my theory why we actually don't have extraterrestrials?
Well,
like, imagine galactic travel, right?
Right.
And there's, like, imagine that as one street.
Okay.
Or, no, more like a city. Let's put a city. And there's, like, you know, bus lanes, tram lanes, and going over everything. But the bus never stops at our stop because we are, like, the hood that nobody goes to.
So we're infrastructurally challenged.
Yeah, people are like, oh, yeah, don't go there. They're just fucked up there.
So in both of your, like, space theories, Earth is just an absolute bum place to be.
Yeah, I mean, we living here say that. Imagine for extraterrestrials who are, like, advanced enough to travel the universe.
Well, if extraterrestrials were advanced enough to travel the universe, they probably also fucked up their planet. So I'm not going to take any shit from them, to be quite frank. Aliens, if you hear this, yeah, that's right. Fuck off. Visit me at my house and what if we won me, idiots? I bet you wouldn't. Yeah, that's right.
Tonight, Henry goes to bed and an ominous light starts shining from the window.
Holy shit, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry, sir. All right, well, Rudy, shall we go to the resolution?
No more theories?
Do you want more?
Yeah, I want to squeeze you out of everything you got in your creative brain.
All right, the last
just
one?
When you just woke up.
You know, this is not really a theory, but it's, could you, like, what if you just, you're cooking in the desert there, in the Lotner Desert, and it's like, shit, I forgot my salt, let's just take some from the ground. Do you think that adds a little spicy flavor?
I feel like it would add a bit of,
nuclear waste.
Oh.
That's how they died.
Is this the origin story for, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
They ate radiated salt.
He became Splinter, and because he was a capitalist pig, he went to New York sewers.
Bruh.
He turned into a rat.
Hmm. Well, that's what nuclear radiation will do to you.
I guess it depends where it was settled, you know? Okay, like, nuclear radiation, what does it actually do? Does it give you cancer?
I think so.
He already had a tumor.
Holy shit, he was immune. Even better. Well, I don't know when they did the nuclear testing, actually. Let me have a look. Nuclear testing Lopnur Desert. In 1964.
And he go one missing when?
1980.
Enough time for the
Nuclear size settled in, and they really said bye, Pung, and then he just died.
Yeah, they were just chilling there for 20 years, waiting for the exact spot. Oh, it was like, you know, okay, imagine if those evil nuclear particles, right? They're just chilling in one area where the bomb got dropped at something, right?
Okay.
They're just chilling. And then one day, he on his way back to mainland China passes by, and they're like, ah, let's get on this dude. But they can only be activated, first of all, when there's like two criteria. There has to be a certain number of them in your body, yeah. And you still have to be in the original place, but because it's like sensor activated. Okay. And he like got there in time to like get them in the body, not like they were just enough, but then he walked out of the radius of it, and then they were just sitting there. They're like, oh, fuck, well, we can't kill him now because we can't be activated.
Damn.
He's like chilling in China. He's like, oh, I kind of feel a bit sick, but like, you know, it's fine. It's fine. It's just, you know, fatigue. And then he walks back, and then like, he didn't remember because the desert is like all the same, right? So he keeps walking that one direction for water, and he just starts feeling it's like some like unscratchable itch. It's like it's happening, but it's actually just those small particles. They feel the radius coming back in their side. They're like, they feel the victory. They're like, oh my god, crab rave! And immediately he took one step in the radius, dead.
Bruh, that darn geographical proximity preventing them from killing him for such a long time.
20 years they've been waiting for this. 20 years!
Just drops dead on the spot because he walked back into the fucking
And they were
range.
So happy and so like they've been waiting for this that they like completely dissolved him.
It was building up inside of him.
Yes.
Well, alright. How about now then, Rudy? Let's wrap up, should we?
Well, tell me what happened, Henry.
What happened is he was found and he was alive and well. Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a nice
Wait,
evening.
What? Wait, really?
No.
Oh.
So, the disappearance of Peng was upsetting to the top Chinese leaders. And three major search parties were started, yeah? Three yeah. major church parties were started, sorry. I apologize.
Church parties?
Church parties?
Nuns came to look for him?
They turned Christian for him. Three major search parties started looking for Peng, and despite them reportedly checking nearly all corners of the nearby surroundings, he was never found. So, interesting.
I mean, okay, you know, realistically, okay, I can't say that I have a vague idea of like his actual death cause, but if he dropped dead somewhere in the desert, it's probably just, you know, because you said it's harsh winds and whatnot.
Yes.
The dunes just, you know, ate him up, and it's like impossible to find that, right?
Yes. Well, I have some theorized causes of death, were either, as you say, basically a flash sandstorm, mm-hmm. which had also left a camel completely buried. Or loose soil hills, which were prone to collapse. So, basically, in both theories, he got buried alive, kind of, which is somewhat unfortunate. But
so the second one actually is a cartoon slip. Walks down the hill, yay, zoinks!
Zoinks? But yeah, alright. His disappearance was largely covered in China, and he was seen as a martyr for science. So he was he's been seen as an inspiring figure for Chinese scientists, basically, and for Chinese exploration. So, you know, that's cool for him, I guess. A while after, so think like 2005, I think it was, several bodies were found that could have been his, but they were never proven to be so. So maybe he has been found, maybe he hasn't been. Either way, there's no proof. So
they can't because there's too much nuclear waste on it.
They found a body in a nuclear barrel. Oh yeah, yeah, that's about it, yeah. I'm thinking if there was anything else, but no, I think that about wraps it up here. So, Rudy, what do you think?
Weatherman.
Yeah, you seem to be
it's
quite
it's
a nice guy.
It's between the weatherman or the happy nuclei in him.
Oh, well, I think he sounded like a very inspirational guy, so I get why he was.
No, honestly, I respect people like this greatly, because I feel like, I mean, okay, perspective is a bit off because I'm not a biologist, but to go to places like these in the name of science and just because you like you want to pioneer something, you know, respect.
Yeah.
Not the easiest of journeys.
I agree. It's a... I don't know. It just seems kind of cool to do that. Not much more to say.
Yeah, Henry, how about we hop on to North Pole, huh?
I'm gonna have to peace out from that idea, King. The only thing I'm willing to explore is my balcony. So
how about we pioneer some unseen footage from Krakatoa?
Huh? What's that?
Volcano.
Wait, a volcano? Where?
It's somewhere in Pacific Islands in Oceania.
Oh,
it's
one of the, now we're
it's
talking.
One of those volcanoes. It's one of those. Okay, there's a lot known about him actually, but it's one of those volcanoes that, however many years ago, a lot of years ago, he when it exploded, it like fucked up the world for like the next years. No, like, because I was watching actually. As a little side note, I was watching a video about about volcanoes the other day, literally, and. Do you know there's a scale for the eruptions? As in, like, this is, like, I don't remember the name of the scale, but this is tier 1, tier 2, tier 3. Apparently, what I didn't know is it's logarithmic, like exponential.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that means that they don't go, like, you know, this one is a scale 1 volcano eruption and the next one is just a double of that. No, it's like...
It's like 10 times.
The higher
times,
you go... Yeah, exactly. It's like... It's bad, so anyway...
Yes,
so,
it's bad.
So, anyway, anything like... Tier 3, as far as I understood, is already, like, somewhat catastrophic around the region.
Yes. Makes sense. Well, I'm always up for exploring the Pacific Islands. I will say that. So, if anybody wants to fly us out there... Jeez.
Whilst you do that, I could go and re-explore, Mount Vesuvius.
Boring. What a cop-out to stay in Italy.
Well,
well. That's just a coincidence, isn't it?
a group. I'm going to go down in the hills.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna do some things to explore certain mountains.
Yeah, all right. That's rather suspicious, but okay, fine. Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening. We're going to wrap it up here then. If you have anything to say to us, any suggestions you'd like to make for our show, please tweet at us or DM us on Twitter at The Vagabond Dilemma, so just the name of the show, or email it in to our email, thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Rudy, do you want to plug your Instagram?
Yes, and if you want to just give some love to me, just go to Instagram and type in 000 RUDY as 000. That's 3 zeros. Rude is 3 zeros. Did we forget some? Oh, yeah, we're here every Wednesday, but you already know that, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
That is about it. So.
You know what? I hope you enjoy some things in November, whoever you are listening to this. November can be harsh, it can get us down. Reach out. We're here to help.
I hope you have at least one nice dinner among all the 29 shitty dinners you'll have. So, shout out to that one that'll keep us alive. Alright. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye.